Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message by some of our pastors here at the Rock.
Amen. All right, today get your Bibles out. This is Love Songs part number 3. Today, if you were wanting to write some notes today, we're talking about being crazy in love, as you heard the song say before. Song of Solomon, chapter number 2, if you want to turn there with me. Remember, we've been talking about love songs, and the Song of Solomon really is a love song when you take a look at it. It's a song that God is singing to us about our relationship with Him. And we see some characters in the Song of Solomon. You'll find the beloved. Speaking of the husband, really this is who God is in the story. As well, you'll find the Shulamite. This is the wife, or really our position is the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And then finally, you'll find the friends, right? These are the daughters of Jerusalem. These are people that they kind of talk back and forth with about their relationship and about what marriage should be and what it looks like. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 8. The Shulamite is speaking, and she's talking about her husband, talking about the one that she loves. And in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 8, it says this, "The voice of my beloved. Behold, he comes leaping on the mountains and skipping on the hills." This is what my wife says about me every morning. Verse number 9, "My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag." Ladies, if you want to ever give your husband a compliment, all you got to do is say, "Honey, you are like a young stag." He will love it. He will love it. "Behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice." Verse number 10, "My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love." Can't you just hear him singing right now? I mean, this is a love song, right? It's almost like you're kind of just brought into a story. It's like, you know, those musicals where they'll be talking, right? And all of a sudden, key of B flat, please. And then they're into something, right? Then all of a sudden a song ensues. And I kind of get that picture when the beloved starts to speak. He says, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo," don't you just love the King James? I mean, just lo. Who talks like that? But really, my goodness, I could hear him singing that. "For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Verse number 14, "Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." Now, what woman wouldn't want to hear that from her man? Your voice is sweet and your face is lovely.
You better
girl.
Say that.
My goodness. Now, some of the men are out there saying, "Well, but Pastor, when she's nagging, I can't say that, right? When she's screaming, honey!" Right? All you got to do, your voice is sweet. Your face is lovely. Make for a good marriage. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 29, what we're talking about today, we can see these same principles and the same care, the same attention. You know, he sought for a time and a place. And the season was right. It was like springtime, and the trees were budding, the flowers were yielding in the fields, and the snow was gone, the darkness and the cold had passed, and now he was bringing her into a place of warmth, bringing her into a place of abundance, a fruitful place, and then he was speaking out what he cherished and valued about his wife. We see the same principle in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 29. It says this, "For no one ever hated his own flesh." Now, let me refresh your thinking. Marriage is about oneness. The two have now become one in the sight of God. Now, I don't know how God does that or what God does, but a miracle takes place on your wedding day, that God takes two individuals and he makes them one flesh. And so Ephesians 5, 29 says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church." So gentlemen, remember, if you ever wonder how to do the word of God, when you look at how am I supposed to nourish and cherish my wife? Well, you do it just like Jesus did it. What did Jesus do for the church? He laid down his life for the church. He gave himself for the church. He strengthens the church. He encourages the church. He tends to the flame of his church. He is walking amidst the church. He's giving careful attention, and he is speaking out his love. He's singing a love song over each and every one of us. We find two principles in Ephesians 5:29 that we're going to take a look at today. The first one is this, is that we are to, as husbands, we are to nourish our wife. It's our responsibility to nourish our wife. Now, you might be thinking, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that I got to feed her good food and, you know, that sort of thing, and that way she's healthy, you know, all that kind of stuff? No, that's not a bad idea to you know, make sure that you're healthy. But at the same time, it's much more than that. To nourish your wife means this. It means that you support her growth towards her own spiritual maturity. Men, remember that you are one. And just like you're taking care of your own spiritual maturity, making sure that you are having a great relationship with God, that you're growing in the things of God, your wife is not out there on her own. It's not like, well, listen, I'm going to do me right now. I'm going to go have my Bible study, and you better just take care of yourself, you know, girl, and I'll see you later. No, you put her in a place where she can grow. You put her in a healthy place. You know, if she's not doing well and she spiritually isn't growing and you notice those things on her life, then it's your responsibility as the man to initiate. You ought to go to her and you say, listen, let's pray about this. Let's take this to the Lord. Let's find out what the scripture has to say about this. Let's get into the word of God. You know what? And you know, when she might be depressed, she might be down. You know what? I don't even feel like going to church today, honey. You know, I just had a long week. I'm not feeling good. No, as the man, you take spiritual authority and you lead your house and you nourish your wife. You say, honey, that's then this is the perfect day to be in church. No need to be staying away, being depressed, pulling the covers up over your head, watching reruns on the couch. Listen, we are going to go to church and you are going to get filled up with the things of God. You're going to get healthy. You're going to get fed at church, and you're going to walk out of church built up and strengthened better than when you went in.
That's right.
It's our responsibility to make sure that they're growing, make sure that they're in a healthy place. Now, this is not only in the spiritual things, even though those are the most important things, but also in the natural things. You know, make sure that your wife is in a good place. You know what? You might be in a neighborhood that's not healthy for your wife. She's always scared, always wondering what's going to happen. Listen, it might be time to move. It might be time to make some changes in your life. You know, if you see that certain things that she's doing are not encouraging her, you know, she's watching the soap operas or the novellas. Come on, somebody. You know what I mean? And you're saying, man, I don't really like that stuff. I don't think that's healthy for her. You know what I mean? Then it's time to have a conversation. Honey, I think we need to get this out of our lives. Get the toxicity away from us. Nourish your wife with good things. Listen, there's plenty of options out there that you can put in that are healthy and that will grow your walk with God. Also, I need to talk to the men for a second. Okay, men, are you ready for this? All right, some of the men are. How about the rest of y'all? All right, can you guys man up for a second? Okay, get ready, because I'm going to talk to you like a man. Some of y'all need to get a job. Mm-hmm. Don't be sitting on the couch watching reruns, watching the game while she's out there working her fingers to the bone. That is not right. Now, if you have a problem with me saying this, you better take it with God, because He wrote it in the Holy Scriptures. He wrote it in the Bible that men are supposed to be the providers. Listen, we were built for tough, right? Big, strong man sitting on the couch, something is wrong. Remember, God gave Adam a job before He gave him a wife. Hello? Are you out there, man? Can you handle this? Okay. So you say, but Pastor, I had a job, I had a good job, I'm not making it, you know, and the job that I'm getting, the unemployment, this and that, it's not me. Listen, okay, so then your job is to go out there and beat the streets for 8 hours a day. You better dress nice, you better comb your hair, brush your teeth, you go get in the face of those employers, you go talk to managers, you go bug them, you go online, you fill out the applications, you do everything you can do. 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and get out there and make it happen. Make something, show the effort, get in there and do something. Listen, I know that sometimes the wife makes more money too. There is no shame in that, but you do your part, gentlemen, whatever that is, and you work hard for your wife, you work hard for your family, and you nourish her with the physical thing. You do your part, God will do His part. And your wife will appreciate it. Listen, if she knows that you're out there making it happen, doing something, going and knocking on doors, she will love you and appreciate that about you. But my goodness, God will open the doors. God will make things happen. God is a great and mighty God who can do great and wonderful and awesome things. He can open doors no man can open. He can close doors no man can close. He can give you favor. I can't tell you how many times people have said, man, there was thousands of applicants and somehow my one application rose to the top. Can't tell you how many times I've heard that. Why? Because they had the favor of God. They were putting their faith and their heart in there and putting the natural part in there, going out there and doing something about it. And then God came in and did His part. My goodness, that we need to nourish our wives. We need to make sure to take care of the health of our family. You know, in our house, we have these hanging baskets outside on the patio. There's five of them. And when we first got in the house, we started to, you know, put stuff up. And so we got these baskets and we hung them up with some flowers in them, you know. And for the winter, we got these little winter flowers. They're really quite cool, you know, straight stem like this. And then they got a flower that dips down and comes back up. And they're red. They're really pretty, you know. And I just like seeing them when I look outside the window. I can see the patio and there's these hanging baskets with these flowers. Now, these flowers are funny because, you know, when the rains come and things like that, you got to turn off your sprinklers on the lawn. And so the drip systems that go into these baskets, they're not working at that time. So they weren't getting any water. And we noticed that because those little straight stems, all of a sudden, they were down. And so we're going, oh no. So we go out there with the watering can and we put some water in that. And the next day we go out there and boom, they're right back up. Okay? So the other morning, Saturday or Friday morning, right? It's our daughter's birthday. And so we're having people over to the house that night, getting the house ready and cleaning up, putting up streamers and banners and all that kind of stuff, and running around looking for pictures for a collage. And as I'm running around, I look through the window, and here is all of those hanging baskets, and every last one of those little flowers was, it was down. And I'm going, this will not do. We've got people coming over, and I just kind of was like, ah, you know. So I run out there with a watering can. One, two, three, four, five. I put water on all of them, just doused them all with water. And I ran back in the house and kept setting up. Not even an hour and a half later, I looked outside. Every last one of them, right back up. It was amazing. Now, gentlemen, sometimes we can be a little hard-headed and we don't pick up the signs. But your wife is dropping hints. And if she's not in a healthy place, all you got to do is look at her countenance and you will see it all over her. She will show the signs of fatigue or show the signs of being down. She'll be walking in the room. Hey. You know, when she starts answering you like you answer her, hey, honey, how was your day? Good. You know something's wrong. Right? But all you got to do is just go and nourish her. Got to get that watering can, and you got to douse your spouse. Now, I'm not talking like pour a bucket of water over her head, okay, gentlemen? All right? They were joking about bringing some Gatorade out here on the stage when the pastor made a good point, like the Super Bowl, you know, and dumping the Gatorade. Somebody actually gave me a big old jug of it after service, last service. But listen, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about just watering. Given that nourishment, putting her in the light so that the light of the Son Jesus, can shine upon her, the presence of God can warm her heart so that she will not be down any longer, but you start to water her and all of a sudden she will come back up. Now, some of you guys got that, but for all of us, how does that look practically? You say, well, then what are we talking about here? What are we doing? Here's how. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 26, speaking about Jesus and the church. How does Jesus do it? Remember, just as Christ does the church. Look at what it says in Ephesians 5, 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her. This is Jesus doing something with the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse her. How? With the washing of water by the word. So if you see your wife is down, she's discouraged. She's depressed. You start to speak the healthy, watering word of God into her life. If she feels dirty, you start to cleanse her with the washing of the water. If she feels discouraged or depressed, you start to wash her with the water. Listen, honey, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Listen, you are more than a conqueror through him who loved us and gave himself for us. You can do it. Listen, I love you like Christ loved the church. Listen, God loves you so much he sent Jesus. And you start to speak the life-giving word of God. And that woman who was down will stand straight up attention, and she will start to be nourished and be encouraged. That's how this works. Now, for the single people in this place, you say, well, I don't got a wife. You know, I don't know what to do with that. Well, here, just change one letter in the sentence, right? Don't just nourish your wife. Here's what you single people do. Nourish your life. You start seeing the signs, right? Start seeing yourself slumping over. I don't know what's going on. That black cloud is hanging over you when you wake up in the morning. Start to speak the life-giving word of God over your life. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I am more than a conqueror. I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am successful because I meditate in the word of God. I don't let it depart from my lips day and night. I am like a tree planted by streams of living water. I bear forth my fruit in season. My leaf does not wither. And everything I put my hand to, I prosper. Come on, somebody. Amen. Put yourself in a place where you can receive the light of God. Get into church. Get around faith-filled friends. Get yourself in an environment where you can grow and where you can flourish. Nourish your life. But husbands, we got to nourish our wife. Are you listening today? Second thing for us that we see in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29, let's read it again. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Second thing is that we are to cherish our wife. Not only nourish our wife and make sure she's spiritually mature and healthy and growing, providing for her needs physically and making sure that we've got an environment for her to grow, but now it switches over to cherish your wife. Cherish means this. To cherish your wife means to place great value on her. To cherish your wife means that you place great value on her. Now, I know after the years, sometimes people can get into a routine, they can get into habit, and they can say, well, you know what, we used to really be in love, but then we fell out of love. You know what happened? You stopped valuing her. You allowed yourself to look at her as less than rather than as important. And what you value and what you cherish, you will now start to nourish and start to encourage and start to pour into. The more you value your wife, the more you will express your love to her, the greater marriage you will have. And if you're having a tough time with this right now, just remember, as the Lord does the church. So what value did Jesus place on us? Well, he placed the greatest value that he ever could, right? What value did Jesus put on it? He paid the ultimate price. He gave the most costly gift he could ever give for the church. He gave himself. The very life of God in Jesus Christ was given for you and was given for me. But husbands, listen to this. It was given for your wife. Therefore, if God valued your wife enough to die for her, then how much more should we value our wife and lay down our lives for her as well? Start to cherish her. Start to value her. Start to love on her. Start to express that love. You know, I get the privilege of meeting with couples before they get married. The young couples are so cute, aren't they? Man, they're so in love. They've got the butterflies. They're, you know, giggly and bubbly and all that kind of stuff. And I love it. You know, even when I meet with some of the older couples that are getting married after so many years, whatever, second marriage or whatnot, it's so cool to be able to talk to them about life. And it's so neat because, you know, there comes a time where we're talking about these same principles. And we get to this one. I love it because I always ask myself, okay, now stop right here. Okay, we talk about cherishing. We talk about the value you place on her. Now, what is it, husband or groom, you know, whoever it is, because they're not the husband yet. But I say, what is it, man, that you value about your fiance? Tell me what you cherish. In fact, don't tell me. I want you to look her in the eyes, and I want you to tell her right now what things you cherish about your wife. And, you know, the guy, he's sitting there with a little smile on his face. He looks over at his wife. And she's sitting there like, I'm ready. Go ahead. Well, I cherish the way she loves God. And I cherish, the way that she just takes care of her family, and I cherish the way that she loves kids and wants to grow a family, and I cherish the way that she is around her friends and how she's just the life of the party, and I cherish the way that she keeps her house up, and you know I cherish the way she encourages me, and you know he's just listing these things off, and he's just going on and on and on and on and on, and it's probably the most words that she's ever heard him say in a single moment, right? And by the time he's done, she is like a big puddle of mush over there on the other seat. She's just like, Pastor, let's just get married right now. Come on, just go ahead. Let's do this thing. See, husbands, you can unlock something in your wife by speaking out the value that you place on her. And the more that you cherish your wife, the more value you put on her, the more your marriage will mean to you personally. And you can express those things. Some of you guys today need to go home and you need to sit down with a pen and paper. And you need to write, I cherish about my wife, dot, dot, and then start listing the things that you cherish about your wife. If you don't have anything currently, then go back. Go back to your first love. Go back to the day that you met her. Go back to the moment that you married her. Go back to those early years. Go back to your children being born. Go back and find out the things that you cherish about your wife and then fold up that note. And next week on Valentine's Day, are you writing this down, gentlemen? Are you taking notes right now? Hand her that envelope and say, honey, happy Valentine's Day. Here's what I cherish about you. Oh, my goodness. It will unlock things in your marriage that you never knew that you could have in your marriage. Why? Because you're placing value on her. Now, some of you men are not men of a lot of words, and I understand that. And, you know, the wife's sitting there, and she's crying over the mirror. And I'm just so ugly, honey. I just don't know how to do it. Just sing her a love song, right? This series is called Love Songs, so why not? Sing her a love song, honey, I'm so ugly. Here's what you sing. Sing this one.
You're beautiful, it's true.
right? Now you gotta sing it like James Blunt does. You're beautiful. Okay? Some of you guys say, I'm a man, I am not doing that. Okay, so when she comes out of the closet, does this dress make me look fat? Okay? Go back to the 70s, sing this one. And then just start jamming the lead. Okay. And she'll be like, when did you learn how to play guitar? But speak it out. Speak those things that you cherish about her. Speak those things that you love about her. Speak the word of God over her. Start to nourish your marriage. You know, what you treat as common will become common. We've heard that in this church, right? If we treat our relationship with God as common, singles and marrieds, hello, then that relationship will become common. It will grow stale, you will plateau, and you will not grow. It's no different with our wives. Husbands, if you cherish your wife, then you will grow in your relationship. You will grow in your love. You will grow in your marriage. But if you just treat her as common, she will become common to you. But listen, I don't want to have an average common marriage. You know that most of the marriages, in fact, half of the marriages about, statistically, you will find that the common average marriage in America ends in divorce. I don't want to have an average, common marriage. I want to have an above average, loving, growing marriage because God says I can have it. And so you start to place the value on your wife. You start to cherish your wife. You start to love on her. You speak words of encouragement. You tell her those things that you love about her. You just laud her with appreciation and love and gifts and kindness and goodness. And you start to nourish your wife and you start to cherish your wife and you put her in that place of growth and you put her spiritual maturity as important and priority to you. And as you do it, gentlemen, she will be singing you this song. Pastor Jess.
You are quite a man. I love you, Dan Roth.
I love you, Jessica.
Well, hi, how are you? You guys taking this in? Yeah? You're going, okay. So girls, now that the men know their piece, let's learn our piece. We're on commandment number 3. So if you turn with me to Ephesians 5:33, in the beginning of this verse, it says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Pastor Dan covered this last week. So girls, this is our piece. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. You see, what love is to us, lovely ladies, respect is to the men. You know, if I know that my husband loves me, I will go to the moon and back for him. I will jump hurdles. I will change my plans. I will eat what he wants to eat because he loves me and I will do it because I love him and it doesn't matter, right? Well, the same thing goes for the husband. If he knows he's loved, if he knows he's respected, if he knows that he is the king of his castle and that his little princess is there waiting for him and loving him and encouraging him and strengthening him, he will go the distance for you. Because men love to be respected. They know who they are and they need to be encouraged, and we are the voice that speaks into their lives. I don't want another woman encouraging my husband. I don't want him to have to go to work and he has to hear those things from someone else. I want him to come home and hear it from me and know that I love him and that I appreciate him going to work every day and that I appreciate that he loves our kids so much. I love the little details of things that he thinks about. You should have seen the streamers for Chloe's birthday. It was cute. I did have to go back to the store and like kind of fix it up a little bit. But you know what?
It's what we
it was
had
amazing.
In the house.
And those are special things. Those are the little things that go a long distance for women. But you know what? It was amazing because I love and respect him so much. Our daughter came home and was like, totally cool, Dad, I like what you did. So you see, when you show respect, the family members in your home, guess what? They follow you. Chloe's not going to treat him bad or disrespect him because she sees me love him and respect him and honor him. And so we have a humongous job as daughters and women and wives in our homes. And the Lord talks about it in 1 Peter 3:2 in the Amplified Classic Edition. They have two versions now because women like to write a lot of things, and so the Amplified does portray that. So in verse 2, it says, when they observe the pure and the modest way in which you conduct yourselves, talking to wives whose husbands do not serve God. So maybe you're married to a man who just doesn't serve God, who doesn't love the ways of God, but you do. It says to conduct yourself in these manners, and then he will be won over by your conduct. And let's look at it. And it says, together with your reverence for your husband, you are to feel for him all that reverence includes. To respect, to defer, to revere him, to honor, to esteem, to appreciate, to prize, in the human sense. To adore him, that is to admire. To praise, be devoted, to deeply love, and to enjoy your husband.
You're preaching good, girl.
Mm-hmm. God wants us to enjoy each other. He doesn't want us to just endure each other. He wants us to be together, link arms. We're the helpmate, remember? So when Dan's having a hard time in life, guess what I get to do? I get to be the one to speak back into his world and go, say, honey, you're amazing. I know you're down right now. I know you're feeling this way, but I see this in you. And this is what God spoke to me years ago about us and about where you're going and what he's doing. You see, we are the voice that the Holy Spirit will use to build back up, to bring respect and honor, and to let the men do what it is they need to do. When we do our part, they do their part, marriage works. And we are anointed and appointed for that. Remember, we've said that. A couple things to remember. If you're writing things down, girls, these are things to write down. Never uncover your husband in public. You're like, oh man. Listen, we can tease, but maybe your teasing sometimes goes too far. Maybe you point out all of his flaws and you're never pointing out the good things about your husband in front of other people. Maybe what is coming out of your mouth is actually death over your husband, and then you wonder why you're bitter and you're angry and you're in unforgiveness. You see, when we uncover our husband, it not only damages the marriage, but it affects the atmosphere we live in. And so there was a time when we were young and we were just starting being married and we were in groups of people a lot because we were young, you know, and we hung out a lot. And Dan pulled me aside once and we were with a whole group of friends and he said, listen, you are teasing me, but it's starting to hurt my heart. Like, do you really think that way? Do you really see me that way? And you see, what happens is it demasculates your husband. And it makes them feel weak or less than. And I was shocked because I didn't see it that way and I didn't realize that it came across that way. But somebody had to point it out to me in order for me to change. So really, I had to apologize to Dan and then I did not do it anymore because I do not think of you that way. You are my hero. So I love you. But you have to not uncover your husband in front of people. You have to be cautious of what it is you say. It's fine to tease and play around. You know, we all have different personalities. Believe me, he's completely different than I am, as you can tell. And we were driving even to today. Can I tell the story? We were driving to church, and we had our little daughter, Chloe, in the car. And Dan was saying something to me and Chloe. Then he paused, and then he said something else, and we were like,
same thought, by the way.
No.
There was no other talk in between. It was just I said something.
No.
Then there was a pause.
It was not the same thought. It really wasn't.
And then I continued speaking.
And so me and Chloe both moved on. We thought, oh, he's talking about something else. And he's like, what are you two saying? He's like, that is the same sentence. It's the same thought. And Chloe goes, Dad, you paused. And when you pause, you move on to a new subject. And it just shows that men and women think differently. You know, I mean, how we perceive things is going to be very different. And so what is important to a man may not be important to us girls. But we need to cherish them enough to make it important to us. So let's not uncover our husbands. Number two, let's respect his decisions. Do not say, I told you so. All you have to say is, good idea. Where did you get that from? Number three, love him back and take care of yourself. You know, one day I was working out, one day, not anymore, but one day I was, and, just kidding, and I was all sweaty, and I was not in a good place, and Dan came, and he just, like, hugged me right afterwards, and I was like, oh, gross, and he said, thanks for working out, babe, thanks for taking care of yourself for me, and I realized, wow, you're welcome, I'm gonna work out again, and
someday
I will. Someday. And so,
I'll give you another hug.
Maybe tomorrow. So, listen, you know, men want us to take care of ourselves. That, you know, when we were dating girls, you put on the makeup, you did your hair, you made sure you had a cute outfit, you took care of yourself, you caught the man, and then what? You started wearing your pajamas every day, you never changed. Oh, he said he likes me like this. Okay, really, he's just being a good husband. So give him some little love. Paint your barn, put on your makeup, Dress up nice for him sometimes. And you know what? Take care of yourself, because it shows, it's an expression of love and respect for your husband. He may never say that to you, but he does think it. And that's why men go look other places. And so girls, take care of yourself so your husband can love you, cherish you, and not go checking out other things. Because you are his prize. You are his woman. You are the one God has called him to do life with. And so let's love each other. Let's take care of ourselves so that our husbands feel honored and respected, because we take care of ourselves. And I will work on that more, honey, I promise. Okay, Proverbs 31:10 says, "An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack or gain." I don't want Dan to have lack and gain in his life, because I'm not doing my part, because I'm not encouraging him, because I'm not feeding into him, because I'm not honoring him. I'm actually always fighting him. I'm always putting up walls. I'm always being manipulative. I'm always trying to get my way. You see, he's going to lack when I'm not doing my piece. But instead of me being so opposition and just always a fight for him, if I'm encouraging him and I'm loving him and I'm saying, "I've got it, I've got your back, I'm with you. I may not understand, but I'm with you." Remember, we talked about submission, coming under the mission of our husbands. And if I reverence him and I respect him and I love him and I cherish him, I believe faith is released. I believe that when we do that, God looks down and he goes, "Oh, look, a baby girl is doing what she needs to do." And so then I, heaven, can drop down blessing into their home, into their families, into their marriages. Oh, I can heal that bitterness and that unforgiveness. Oh, I can switch this heart around a little bit here. And he begins to join us back together in the union that he first called us into. When a husband does his piece, I do my piece as a wife. God gets to do his piece and join us together. A three-chord strand cannot be broken. And I believe that God wants us women to encourage our husbands, to honor, to respect them. There's a cute story when we first bought our first home.
Yeah, 1962, little 1,400 square foot home.
Yeah.
In Redlands.
It was old, really old.
Cute little neighborhood.
We had to fix everything in that house.
Yeah, actually, when you walked in the front door on the right-hand side, it had like the wallpaper of Christopher Columbus discovering the new land. Was that true?
It did, and it was so old it just peeled right off.
Yeah, no, we just were like, we can get rid of this. So, we fixed it up, and being an old house, you know, stuff started falling apart here and there. And so there was, in the master bedroom, the master bathroom had a toilet, and you'd flush the toilet, and when you flushed it, water would come out of the side. Now, nothing else came out of the side, thank God, but it was just a little bit of water, you know? And so, I was like, man, that's a problem. So I called my dad. My dad is like Mr. Handyman. He's so smart. The guy's on genius level. He reads books and just understands stuff right away. And, computer programmer, all that kind of stuff. So he's Mr. Handyman. And so I called him up and said, "Dad, every time I flush the toilet, water comes out of the side. What do you think that is?" And he's, "Oh, there's a little wax ring on the bottom of it. Probably broken, you know. Just pull up the toilet, take a look and see if that's it." So sure enough, I go and I drain the tank, you know, and put the tank in the shower and get the bowl and turn over the bowl. And that little ring that should have been an O was a letter C, okay? It was cracked, and that's exactly what had happened.
So at this point, I was completely amazed. I have never seen a toilet not there when it should be. And I had never seen someone do it themselves. Like, I love my dad, he can do a million things, but he never took a toilet off and put it in the shower and fixed it himself.
Yeah.
So I was like, "Are you sure you know what you're doing? You're gonna mess this up. We have like no budget, none at all." So
that's why I was doing it myself.
You have to get this right.
So yeah, I got in there and went down to Home Depot, bought a new wax ring, slapped it on, tightened it down, put the tank back on, fill it up, connect everything. Everything goes right. So I flush the toilet, and lo and behold, we look on the side, and there is no water coming out, right?
And I was like, "Oh my goodness. He is the most amazing man I have ever met in my life. Like, you fix a toilet. Who fixes toilets?" And I was just like amazed. I remember I made you like a good meal.
Yeah.
I was just like, throughout dinner, I was like, "That is like, I cannot believe you know what you're doing." I mean,
sat
that was amazing.
Me down in front of the television with a meal in my lap and handed me the remote.
I'm still amazed to this day.
You know what happened? I was sitting there with the food in my lap and the remote in my hand, and I went, "Honey, I think the gate needs to be fixed. You know, it's kind of wobbling. You know what, let me go back to Home Depot. Let me take care of that, you know?"
He fixed like everything broken in that house in 2 months. And I didn't know why. And I just kept all the time going, "You're so awesome. How did you do that? How did you know how to do that? I think that's amazing. I wish I knew how to fix things like that." And I mean, I just wanted to encourage him and respect him. I really, really respected him in that moment. And guess what? He went the distance. That house was hooked up. And so I just want to say thank you for fixing the toilet.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Love your husbands, ladies. Respect them, cherish them. When it's hard, get on your knees and pray for them and ask God to give you grace to respect them through the hard times, because God will meet you there.
Yep, and men.
He will meet you there.
Men, nourish and cherish your wife. Singles, nourish your life.
Yes.
Love you.
Love you.
Mwah.
Bye. You don't want to kiss me with his red lips? No.
God is good. Been a great series.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.